As we gather together for the gospel lesson, we stand and witness to the resurrected Christ. Today's gospel lesson is responsive. So you're going to join in the sharing. If you'll grab your hymnal or your bulletin, not your hymnal, let us share together in the gospel lesson today. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them.
When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, for the gift of this day, we give thanks. Meet us now and transform our hearts and our minds as we come to hear words of encouragement and challenge. We thank you for your call to go. So meet us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was an incredible week at Vacation Bible School. It really was. In part because here's the thing. Children don't have all the same, how would you put it, walls that we put up. They're okay with having fun and dancing. In fact, the only time I saw them get nervous was when they looked at the crowd that didn't have any of the excitement or wasn't jumping in the air like them. So I give thanks, though. This Vacation Bible School was incredible. It was a great year. So I think, Jennifer, you would agree, we heard a lot of parents who said, this was incredible. My kids loved it. What I love so much is hearing them memorize and say aloud, "For when I go pass through the waters, you will be with me." You see, all week they worked on memorizing that verse that was kind of the core verse of the week of Vacation Bible School. So at a very young age, we're reminding them that when you walk through life, you are not walking alone. And we sought to embody that as best we could as adults in their life throughout the week, as much as we could keep up when our knees and our arms and feet would hold up, right? Because jumping like that, you pay for later in life. But nonetheless, this week, our kids remind us of the gift that we have. You see, we are a people who share our story. And part of how our promise of God's presence is passed on is through the stories of our own experience. Jesus knew something about that, and so at the end of Matthew, there's this great piece that we just read together a moment ago. It's often called the Great Commission. You see, the work that God had started in Jesus Christ continues. And how does it continue? In you and me. In you and me. The story of God's faithfulness and God's promise to be with us is continued in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We continue sharing that story from one generation to the next. And yeah, sometimes we do that through worship and in preaching, but oftentimes, if I'm really honest, it happens in small groups and in Sunday schools and in Vacation Bible School. Those are the places where we get to hear those stories, and really it extends to the home. The more I read, the more I come to realize that the home has a greater impact than any other place in developing the faith of a child. It's proven. They've written books on it. And in fact, they've said that there's more impact there, and that for a young adult who leaves for college, the greater way to keep them connected to the church, parents, this is an encouragement, you've helped shape their life, is another adult within the community of faith encouraging them. So parents, hear that this is not all on you. Church folk, particularly Sunday school teachers and folks like myself, we have an important part, but it's not all up to us. It's a shared work that we do together. The great commission Jesus gave was that go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have taught you. And remember, what did he say? I am with you, even to the end of the age. It's the promise that we have as people of faith is that we're not alone on this journey. We have the presence of God through the Holy Spirit that walks with us, that helps us find our way along that crazy river of life that we find ourselves on. This week, our kids learned that following Jesus is an adventure. How many of you could attest to that? Oh, that's not good. There was no amen, right? Sometimes following Jesus is hard work. Okay, there we go. Now we're together, right? Following Jesus is hard work because it means we have to embody what he was talking about, that the kingdom of God is in our midst and that we're to be a part of helping it come into the world around us. That means we embody the very teachings that Jesus taught. And what did he teach us? Well, when it would be easier to push away those who we'd rather overlook and ignore, the marginalized, the poor, no, he embraced them. He would stop what he was doing and embrace them, oftentimes to the absolute frustration of the disciples, who thought, do we need one more encounter where it makes the religious leaders mad and angry? Can't we just let this one pass today? I sense sometimes that the disciples had that conversation, right? I often feel that way when I turn on the news and I'm preparing for Sunday morning. Can't I just act like I didn't see it this week? Because it seems like every week there's one more pressing issue that we need to be drawing ourselves in prayer and action. The last couple of weeks has been a focus around children and families along the border. And we get lots of rhetoric and people get fired up on both sides and we throw stones at one another. And I think, what did Jesus say to the disciples when they would rather push the children away? Let the little ones come to me. So when are we going to be the church that says, you can fight all you want, but you can't harm those little ones? The first sin that the church committed in its earliest coming together, if you read in the book of Acts, was as they were growing and more people were coming into their ranks. The first accusation they get in the book of Acts is that they weren't caring for their orphans and their widows. And so they call together a group of people. We, in some ways, our earliest definitions of a deacon come from the fact that we called out from among the community. We didn't go find some special, we called them from within the community to be those who cared for the widows and the orphans. So church, we've got work to do, apparently. And it's right there in front of us on the nightly news. How will we be those who care for the orphans and widows in our midst? Because it will give witness to the resurrected Christ by how we do it. And our inaction will also speak as well. So this word of encouragement that I share with you is also a challenging one, right? Following Jesus is hard work. Because it means that I have to drop what I think I want to do and that be it, to embody what Christ would have for us. Not only in caring for the little children among us, but for seeing the poor that walk among us, for seeing those that are not just poor physically and financially, but also the poor in spirit, to embrace and embody the love of God for the world. That's an overwhelming task, right? And it's definitely not one you can do from your pew. Oh, watch out now. We hear about it, we're encouraged, we gather to worship, but it has to be something that we embody and live out Monday through Saturday as well. It has to be the way in which we embrace and love the world around us. It's our call. We baptize those that we've come alongside. We've talked a little bit on and off throughout from the beginning of this year even till today about our long-range planning team. We have a team of people who are prayerfully going through a transformation themselves as we learn what it means to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. And what we've learned is that sometimes we can get really busy doing lots of stuff but not asking why we're doing it. Nobody else does that, right? You're getting nervous. Are you awake, congregation? And so when you ask why, as our long-range team will attest, this pastor has a way of unintentionally setting them up. I'll hand them a reading, and then I'll have wonderful members of the team who come and go, I don't like you right now, because you're challenging the way I've seen what it means to be the church. Growing as disciples is hard work. It means we have to be diving in. We're reading the scripture. We're praying. But then we're also looking, oh God, where would you have me to see and to hear? And here's the crazy thing. God does it in small ways. Right? It's in those moments that we didn't even see. It's in the moment of embracing a child during vacation Bible school. It's talking to somebody at a local restaurant, and before you know it, you're sharing life together. They're sharing their life with you, and you're sharing your life with them, and you realize this is a holy and divine encounter. You couldn't have set it up. It would have been easier to ignore it, right? We have many things on our calendar to run back and forth. But in those small little encounters where we open ourselves to share life together, where we open ourselves to be in relationship with somebody near us, those are the moments where I think the Spirit most works in our midst. That's why I'm constantly talking to you about gathering and seeing the people around us when we're in our neighborhood. Do you know the name of the person at the restaurant you most frequent? Really? Do you know their name? Do you know anything about their life that you might share? That's the beginning of this work that Jesus was talking about in the Great Commission. You see, he didn't give this commission to the neighborhood and to the whole world. He gave it to his disciples, to those who had walked most closely with him. The call of going and teaching and baptizing. That's the work that we're to do, church. Those who have been called, who have sensed Jesus at work in their midst, who have said, yes, he will be my Lord, and I will be one who is his disciple. We are those who will then go. And just in the way of Jesus, we invite those to come alongside us. We share life together, never coercively, never with some end in mind, but through that relationship, we then are able to share our faith in a genuine and authentic way. The people that most impacted my life that you've often heard me talk of did just that. They began to know my name. They began to ask stories about things that excited me. And as time opened the door, they shared what Jesus meant in their life. And I was touched by their stories. I was encouraged by their love. I was sometimes overwhelmed by it. And so through time, they began to share those stories and those experiences with me. And I began to be more open. And so my gathering in the church, I began to be more excited about what the faith was about. In many ways, as I've invited you to share your stories, as I've got to know some of you, you've had those persons in your life who have formed you, who have encouraged you, who have shared with you life. And through your experience, you've learned what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And through your study and engagement in the church, you've grown in that. At least that's my hope. And in fact, that's the hope that I have for Bellevue that we're going to be working on, is helping develop some of those ways in which we can help foster that. I'm not asking any of you to know the Bible front to back, to memorize every single verse. That would be pretty incredible. But here's the thing. We sometimes believe that knowing a lot is the same as living a lot, and it's not the same. You can know a lot of Scripture and not really reflect the love of Christ in the world. You can know a lot of the teachings and not necessarily embody them. That's the tension with the world in which we live in right now. We can say we're to love our neighbor, but then we choose who we want to be our neighbor, both with how we buy houses and where they're affordable, with how we group ourselves together and exclude. We still call it loving our neighbor, but we just want to limit our neighborhood. And Jesus constantly messes with those barriers. So church, today I want you to hear this. We are among those who are called, but we are not walking alone. We are not walking alone. The one who embodied love such that even in the face of death would hang on to that love and would keep showing it is Christ Jesus. He's the one that we point to every Sunday when we gather, that we pray to, and he knows the pain of walking the road with us. Here's the challenge, though. Do we know the pain of walking with one another? Because you see, in that shared walking next to one another, that's when we experience life in its fullest. When we know we don't have to be hidden anymore. You see, we taught our kids this week that Jesus goes with us on the adventure of the river, that we can find acceptance on that river of life, that we can find joy, and that ultimately peace is with us. This isn't a peace that we can sit by and watch the world crumble around us. No, it's the peace that holds us in the midst of the storm to say that the anchor will hold, that God can be depended upon. And we know that more fully when those who in the name of Christ have stuck with us through hell and high water. So church, we've got a call to be the people of God in the world around us. And it starts in how we care for and love one another, and then how we reflect that love in the world around us. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, the call to be your disciples is not an easy one. Sometimes it means we have to drop the boundaries and the barriers we'd rather keep in place that have been offering us some type of safety. But just as we've invited our kids this week to experience the adventure of following you, so may we be those that are open to experience what it means to follow you. Guide and lead us, O God, into the world that we might love those that you love, then that would be all that we encounter. But help us to have your eyes to see them, your ears to hear their stories, and your compassion to embrace without restraint. Transform us by your love, that the world might be transformed by your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please remain seated.